We wish to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land we are recording on in Perth, Western Australia.
The Whadjuk people of the Noongar Nation.
We wish to acknowledge their continuing culture.
And pay our respects to the elders past, present and emerging.
In a world where the lives of everyday people are preordained by the script that must be followed, a ragtag team of scamps dare to speak their highly unqualified opinions publicly. They dare to go off script.
Unscripted, the film show.
You're listening to Unscripted, the film show.
You can't handle the truth.
God, I'm walking here.
Here's Johnny.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
I'll have what she's having.
Want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
Hello, good evening, and welcome to Unscripted, the film show for another Thursday night. My name is Lewis.
Hi.
Sitting across from me is Rachel, and not sitting across from me is Cecilia, because she's not in the studio tonight.
No, she's not. But that's okay. You saw Ghostbusters.
You said, like, if she's feeling funny, she shouldn't come in tonight. Actually, if you're feeling funny, this is the best place for you, really, is to come into the studio, because Cecilia sent a message saying, got a funny feeling I might not get out in time. Oh. Do my best. You see, you were taking that as she had a funny feeling as if she was sick. But she's not sick.
No.
She's just like,
This is dyslexia. This is the perfect explanation of dyslexia. Two words, swapped them around.
Yes.
I'm just like Willy Wonka. Swap it and reverse it. That's me. Or Missy Elliott, whichever you want to choose.
She's not here.
She's not here. She's not feeling funny. She had a funny feeling.
Exactly, yes.
Completely two different things. I've had a day at work, so I'm smashed, and I'm hoping to offer something other than loopiness today, but, you know, I can't actually promise that.
Oh, this is very weird. There we go. My iPad is not connecting to the studio's Wi-Fi, but it is now.
So that's wonderful. Very wonderful. So... yeah, sorry I couldn't make it to Ghostbusters. I had student-teacher meetings and they let out late and then we were on our way and it's like, yeah, we're not going to make that. So we went out for dinner instead, which was lovely, but, not quite the same.
Yeah, well, there's less busting of ghosts.
There was less busting of ghosts. We did do something movie-related on that said date, because we'd organised a babysitter, so we're like, well, we're not going to make the movie, but let's just go for dinner. And that was, there was like a meme about, or like one of those little, I don't know, post things that pop up on your Facebook about you can only watch 1 year of 80s movies, and then it goes through 1980 to 1989 and it lists like five movies.
Oh, let's do that.
And you can only choose 1 year.
Okay.
And so we did it, and we both chose the same year.
Can we do it now?
We can. Yeah. I've got it. But this is what we did, and it did pop up on my Facebook a few days ago, and I'm like, I looked at it, and I must have been having a day because I started stressing about like, oh, I should no, I can't do that. I can't. That's torture. I can't do it. So I had to, like, it was a real thing. Like, I don't actually have to choose this. I don't actually never have to see the rest of the movies again. But my brain was like, no. It's torture.
Now, you must have posted this to the Unscripted.
Haven't.
Why?
I will.
These are things you see, and you must go, I must post this to the Unscripted The Film Show Facebook page.
Well, because I will then. You could always, like, vamp for a second.
Because then other people could play along.
And then I'll put it up there. How about I vamp for a second?
Okay, that's cool. Now, so we'll do this in the first bit of the show, and I will talk about Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, which I'm very excited to talk about. It is not getting the best critical reviews, and I'm waiting to hear what the audiences think on the Rotten Tomatoes. I'm really hoping that the audiences get behind it and go out and watch it, because I love Ghostbusters, and I just... I could just do it more. You know, Ghostbusters is great, and I don't understand you know, why these critics are having so much issues with it. But
it's always the way, though. It's always the critics who are like, "This is rubbish."
Well, actually, I do.
And the laymans that are like, "Actually, yeah, I like it.
I like it. It's good." I think the problem they're having with it is there's too much in there, too much for them to handle.
It's just too much.
Too much.
Yeah.
Don't put too much in there.
No.
Just don't have an A and B story. Just have one story and just that's all they want.
That's no fun.
No.
You always need a B plot.
You want to mix things up.
Otherwise it gets boring. Now, yeah. I have posted it to our Facebook page. It is under the word, it's under the heading, Let's Play. So I don't know if you want to write down or start writing down your possible years that you might be excited about, and that way you can keep score of like what years
you're
possibly going to vote for. But let's do this.
I think everyone knows my year is going to be 89. I think that goes without saying.
I know, but like, okay, so this is the thing. Do you choose one good year or one good movie and lose out on like four really good movies in another year? Let's run this down, right? So 1980.
Okay.
Empire Strikes Back,
good
The
movie.
Shining, mm-hmm. which is like one of my all-time favourites, yeah. Blues Brothers, Caddyshack and Airplane, right?
Okay.
So for me, there's two movies there. So, okay, we're doing all right. 81, not a terrible year. The Evil Dead.
Yep.
American Werewolf in London, which I know you love.
I do.
Mad Max 2, Escape from New York. Not Mad Max 2, yep. Escape from New York. Mad Max 2. And another movie called Escape from New York, because Chris got confused when I was announcing those and thought it was one. He thought it was Mad Max 2, colon. Yeah. It's not. And Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark. I mean, classic, right?
Mm.
But for me, probably only one movie there for me. So that's already, like, not winning. 1982, 48 Hours, Fast Times at Ridgemont High, which is a classic. Mm. The Thing, Poltergeist and E.T., you're starting for me. This is starting to get hard.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
You feeling me?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. 83. Initially, I was like, oh, no, I don't need this year at all. But then I saw one of them and I was like, well, yeah, this is a hard one. Trading Places, Scarface, Christine, The Outsiders, and National Lampoon's Vacation. I don't know if I could live without that.
I could probably live without 83. I could deal with that.
I mean, at this point, it's winning over the other ones just because of that movie, even though there's two movies in 90. This is what I mean. On the day I was looking at it, I'm like, physically I'm in pain trying to do this. 84, Terminator, The Neverending Story, A Nightmare on Elm Street, Ghostbusters, and Beverly Hills Cop. That is a damn good year. Yeah. Damn good year. 1985, it just gets better. Back to the Future, Breakfast Club, Fright Night, Clue, and my all-time favourite, The Goonies. So, yeah, that's a hard year to pass up. 86, you got Aliens, Platoon, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, Top Gun, and Stand By Me, which I saw way too young, but it's still in my heart. I love that movie. 1987, you've got Full Metal Jacket, Predator, Raising Arizona, The Lost Boys, and Trains, Planes, and Automobiles. 87, basically, I can throw in the bin. I don't need this year. I really like that Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, but, yeah. What are you feeling?
Well, Predator, I'd keep Predator, so that's the...
You don't get to keep one movie.
I know, you
this
don't.
Is the thing. This is why it's torture. 1988, you've got Die Hard, Child's Play, Beetlejuice, Coming to America... And The Naked Gun.
Well, that's hard because, like, Die Hard, you got to watch every Christmas. So that's...
Yeah. I mean, for you.
Yeah.
I've seen it once. And also Beetlejuice. I mean, it's a classic. It's one of the faves.
Look forward to the sequel this year.
I know. Yeah. And 89. Let's talk about 89 for you.
Yeah.
Major League.
Very feminist film. I like it.
Heathers.
That is right. Is it Major League? Is that Major League? Am I mistaking Major League?
I think you're mistaking that for A League of Our Own.
You're right, sorry. I don't
actually know what Major League is, but I'm pretty sure it has to do with baseball.
Pretty sure, yeah.
Heathers, which is, of course, a feminist film.
Yeah.
There you go. Dead Poets Society, which is great. Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. And then this tiny little movie that I think you know called Batman.
See, that's what 89 is. It's all about, I mean, Major League, I don't even know what it is really, but Batman, Deadpool Society, Bill and Ted's, bang, done. There's none of the other ones where there's three films where it's like, oh, I must have these films.
Yeah, I couldn't live without 84 because you got Back to the Future, Clue, and The Goonies. Have you seen Clue?
85.
What did I say, 86?
I think it's 84.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Well, 84 is a good year too, obviously. Ghostbusters, Beverly Hills Cop. But, yeah, we both went with 84.
85? Back to the Future.
Far out. Can you tell I'm tired?
Yeah, I can. Yeah.
1985.
Right.
Oh, man, I almost said four again. Yeah, Back to the Future, Clue, Breakfast Club, Goonies, Fright Night, I could definitely do without.
Really? I thought you liked Fright Night.
I like the newest one with Colin Farrell. That's really good, mm-hmm. But the original 80s one, not so much. But, yeah, I had this conversation with Chris the other day about Clue. Have you seen this movie?
No, I have not.
What?
Well, no, Clue. No, I've seen Clue, yeah. Clue,
okay.
It's the movie version of Cluedo.
Yes.
Yeah.
Correct. All right. My husband had not seen that movie and I was upset about it that they hadn't seen that movie. But, yeah, so that's a fun little game and I felt torture while I was doing it. So that's awesome.
I mentioned the other day that we Kat and I have cancelled Netflix because it was like, oh, there's nothing on Netflix. Like, there's no reason to keep it. It's just rubbish on there. And then all of a sudden, I was listening to the Chris Jericho podcast, and he was interviewing one of the actors that was in Game of Thrones, who was also in the new Benioff and Weiss TV show, Three Body Problem, that's coming to Netflix. So I was kind of excited to hear about their risky alien invasion epic.
Well, see, this is the risk of cancelling something is something's going to pop up, and this is why I have 1,500 things, not Netflix at the moment because we were naughty, but we will have it soon. We're desperate to watch Drive to Survive, so
I think
we have to have it.
I think we've still got Netflix for like a little bit longer because we've got to wait till like we've cancelled it, but we've still had a bit of time before it stops.
Ah, yes.
And apparently this Three Body Problem drops on Netflix March the 21st, which...
Today.
Yes, it is today. So I might check out the Three Body Problem on Netflix. You know, I think they've just dropped this because I know we've cancelled. They went, Lewis and Kat cancelled. We better drop something big.
Yeah, and keep him on.
Benioff and Weiss, you Game of Thrones guys. They liked Game of Thrones. Let's see what you guys can do. And they created within a week this new TV show. Very skillful people they are.
They are. Mm. It's like they knew.
Yes.
They knew. Before we go to our first break, we do have some tickets to give away to Goodbye Julia, which is a multiple award-winning film. So it's obviously it's good, mm-hmm. Otherwise it wouldn't be winning an award. This is the short synopsis. Just before the secession of South Sudan, a married former singer, Mona from the North, seeks redemption for causing the death of a southern man by hiring his oblivious wife, Julia, as her maid. I'm already confused. I'm so tired. Mm-hmm. The two women forge an unusual relationship across devastating divides in this engrossing Sudanese drama. Racked with guilt after covering up the murder, Mona tries to make amends. Unable to confess her transgressions to Julia, Mona decides to leave the past behind and adjust to the new status quo, unaware that the country's turmoil may find its way into her home and put her face to face with her sins. That sounds really interesting. And it has, like I said, won lots of awards. So we do have four double passes to go and see this.
No, we have two double passes and two buy one, get one free passes. But as I don't like giving away buy one, get one free passes, if you do claim one of the double passes, I'll give you the buy one, get one free as well. So... If you want to take four people, then you can do that and like pay for the tickets.
There you go.
Because I just don't like don't buy one get one free. What's that? What's that all about?
It is a bit upsetting.
Yes.
But, yes, we do have passes to give away, and we can even put them in the post for you because post is still a thing.
They're actual real physical
They're
passes.
They're actual real physical passes. That's right. You're not going to get this in email. It's just like – and that's exciting because the only thing you get in the mail normally is a bill. So it's exciting. So if you are interested in seeing this film, which I think – is either out now or out in the next couple of weeks.
It's out on April the 4th.
April the 4th. Wow. Yeah. People are getting the tickets early then.
Well, and the thing is, don't call the show because you might have noticed if you've been listening to the show for a while, we don't play like music in between our bits.
No.
We just talk and play ads and then talk. Mm. We don't have any time to answer the phone. So if you do want the tickets to go and see Goodbye Julie. Goodbye Julia. Do go to our Facebook page. There is at the top of the page pinned a ticket giveaway. All you got to do there is go to the comments, say I would like the thing. The first two people to do that will get the double pass and the buy one, get one free. And then just do DM us your postal address and we'll pop it in the post.
Mm, that's easy. Right. Yeah, it's not difficult at all.
No.
So unless you don't have Facebook, in which case.
I'm sorry.
We tried.
Yes.
That's all we can do.
There's only so much we can do.
We are going to go to some sponsors and then be back probably talking about Ghostbusters. I don't know. We're going to find out.
All right. Back soon. Well, that's not good. Sorry. It was, another thing we do is during the times where we're off air and we got like a few seconds between the talky bits.
Mm-hmm.
We usually just like have a natter about things, and when you've only got a minute, like a minute isn't a long time.
It's really not. You get the start of the story, and then not the end, or you get. In this case, I gave Lewis what happened during the day today. Asked him what should I do about that situation, and then he can't tell me because we're going back on air. So that's just how life is when you're rolling with the punches here.
Yes, exactly. Just gotta keep on rolling.
God.
As a band once said.
Yep. Now I'm like, now I've got that in my head, and I don't know who sings it.
Is it Kid Rock?
Please no.
Not Kid Rock. Limp Bizkit. It's Limp Bizkit.
Oh my God! Well done. Yes. For somebody who like hardcore listens to 90s music. And nothing afterwards, I am really surprised you got that. Because I feel like Limp Bizkit is post-1999.
Well, the reason I got it is because the Undertaker's theme music when he was the American Badass was rolling, and he come down on a motorbike because he was rolling.
See, it's wrestle-related, so of course you would remember it. And
yes.
While I'm on the point of being upset, I wasn't on this point, but being upset that people haven't seen certain movies, one of my co-hosts has not seen Cruel Intentions. Sorry, it just came to mind because I think it came out in the late 90s.
Sorry, now, when you're saying one of your co-hosts, you're clearly referring to me.
One of my colleagues, my co-host.
I was like, well, I've not seen it, but I'm pretty sure that Cecilia would have seen that, but... Yeah.
Have you not seen Cruel Intentions?
Dude, I've seen all versions of Cruel Intentions.
I was like, oh my gosh.
I saw the stage musical.
I know. That's why I was confused. Yeah. So I am fully loopy today. I did explain. So I work in customer service where you talk all day long, and it has gotten to the point like at the end of the day where my brain is fried and my mouth is fried and neither of them talk to each other, which is why I'm not making any sense at all. So welcome to Loopy Town. Mm. Plus I'm tired.
That's all right.
But it's you're awake and you are awake enough to point out when I am saying the wrong things, which is wonderful because someone needs to be the quality control on this show. It's
yes.
Never going to be me.
No, I'm on point. I'll keep you on track. Now we do like we've only got one movie really to talk about this week. I think I'm just going. How have I watched anything else? I'm not sure.
Well, see, the only thing
Yes. I've watched two movies. Okay, cool.
Wow.
I got two movies to talk about. Okay, cool. All right. Poor Things. Now.
Did you watch Poor Things? This is the thing I meant to watch.
Yeah, so
because it is now streaming on, I want to say Prime or Binge.
You would be wrong.
Is it Binge?
It is streaming on Disney Plus.
Disney Plus. It's streaming on Disney Plus.
It is.
Yep.
I see. Look, the thing, like, okay,
It's all right. You can't speak English either, apparently. Cecilia, you're letting us down. You're the only one who knows how to speak today.
No, it's just this hard thing where we did a Tangent City a few weeks ago Rotten Tomatoes and how there is a gap sometimes between what the critics think and what the audiences think. And sometimes everyone loves a thing and it's all good. But Rotten Tomatoes, I think Rotten Tomatoes for Poor Things, that it was actually quite complimentary on both sides.
Oh, well, this is always good because it doesn't always happen. Sometimes you've got the critics being the haters and the opposite side, and everyone's loving it.
But the weird thing is like, no, so on the Tomato Meter, you got 92% for the critics and 79% for the audiences. So both fairly good scores.
Yeah. That's a solid B+.
Yeah.
I think.
And
not sure.
And like, Kat and I watched the movie, like, and I haven't really spoken to Kat about it, and like, I just got a feeling.
Did you finish watching it and just go, okay, good night? You literally didn't say anything. Was a movie.
No. We finished it, and she was like, I think I need to watch something else just to like wind process down it after that. And so we watched Bob's Burgers, which is a great way of just like, you know, having a bit of a amuse-bouche after after having a heavy meal of something.
Yes.
But see, Poor Things isn't like – it's a Frankenstein-type tale.
Mm.
And it's not – it wears its Frankensteinness on its sleeve, like to the point that Willem Dafoe's character actually kind of looks a bit like Frankenstein.
Yeah, he's got all scarred-up face and stuff, hasn't he?
He's got a scarred-up face, and he had a very horrible dad who did some really awful experiments to him.
Oh, lovely.
But kind of turned him into a bit of a monster as well in his own right. But he is he's fairly, like, loving of his – kind of ward, Bella Baxter, played by Emma Stone. And he, Bella, you get introduced to Bella, and initially she seems like she's like just not all there mentally. And you go, well, what happened to this poor girl? And the film starts off with Bella standing on a bridge and jumping off. So I was like, oh, well, it's a weird way to start the film, but why not? You know, maybe it's a... This is the end of the film, and then we see how it gets to this point. Maybe that's what's going on here. But then when we meet Bella, as I said, she's not like a person who seems like adult, like physically, but very childlike mentally.
Mm.
And
which is very much what the monster was in the original Frankenstein, you know, not really understanding the ways of the world.
Yes, exactly. And so you get that, but with Bella, instead of it being a looking monstrous and everything like that, she's an attractive woman. And so the story is like a discovery of herself and a discovery of her sexuality. So this is a very sexually charged film.
Oh, I was not expecting that.
It was like if Tim Burton directed something that was sexually charged. Okay. The director of the film, Yorgos Lanthimos, he has directed a bunch of other films before. The Favourite. You might remember that one.
Yes.
The Killing of the Sacred Deer.
Oh, yes. He's got a style.
The Lobster.
Who could forget The Lobster?
He's got an interesting way of doing things. And like, I understand Poor Things, where it's coming from and everything like that. And the weird thing is, like, everyone's going, oh, my God, this film is amazing. This is great. But there's the thing, and I can't talk about the thing. Because if I talk about the thing, it spoils the movie.
Right.
But the thing is like, that's really screwed up. That's like some real, that's not right.
I have a feeling that I might talk about it off air to you to see if I'm correct, or I might just watch it. I don't know. But I have a feeling that I might know what you're talking about, in which case I feel like that's not right either.
Well, to the point where it was like when we're watching this, it was like you're just going along and going la 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 la, nice little film, and then it was like, you know, the record scratch, you know, when you hit this point, you just go, you did what? You did what now? And that for me, it was a kind of hard hurdle to jump over to get through the rest of the film,
right?
And I was like going, this is just not right. And that's the thing. Like, why I'm just so baffled how it's got such great scores, and no one's just gone, yeah, this is really effed up.
it's interesting that you say that, because everyone really liked Licorice, and I had a problem with it because there was an older woman and a teenage boy. And granted, the age difference was not massive, but it still made me feel uncomfortable because he's not really mentally able to make that.
Is that the one with the teacher, like, you know?
No. It's got Haim in it. Not Haim. Someone from the band Haim, right. Whatever. Philip Seymour Hoffman's son.
Oh, okay.
And he is like a teenage boy, yeah. And then she's like 24 or something, and there's some kind of romantic thing going on, and it just made me really uncomfortable. Like, what are you doing hanging around with a teenage boy? I don't get it. And everyone was like, this movie's great. And I'm like, don't you think this is odd though? And no one was like, yeah. So I'm like, okay, maybe it's just me then.
Yeah.
So I'm intrigued to have an off-air conversation.
Yeah, I mean, as far as like visually spectacular goes, it's visually just like, it's just
spectacular. Yeah,
it's just a feast for the eyes.
Yeah.
You got some great actors in there. In, you know, Emma Stone playing Bella Baxter. You got Mark Ruffalo. He plays this Duncan Webber-Byrne, who is this guy who is a rich guy who's like, I want you to come with me and travel the world. And so she goes and does that with him. Willem Dafoe as Godwin Baxter, who she refers to as God. He's Willem Dafoe at his Willem Dafoe-iest. It's great. The director and Willem Dafoe are just like, two peas in a pod. I could just see them working together again.
Maybe there's more to it. Like, we're supposed to break this apart, and there's a reason why these certain things happen, so that we can question stuff.
I don't know. I think this is a fairly straightforward kind of thing. When you see it,
I'm going to have to watch it.
You'll understand it. Rami Youssef plays Max McCandles. He's the guy who Willem Dafoe's Godwin Baxter brings on to initially watch Bella and kind of study her.
Okay.
But then eventually he's like, you know what? You should marry her. So, yeah, it's all very, very interesting. So, yeah, there's a lot of, you know, great actors in there. They kind of travel the world. I don't know how much of this stuff would have been filmed outside. I think it must have been. When you look at it, you're going, they couldn't have built these sets. There must be a lot of CG or something like that here, because if you build all these sets, this thing must cost $1 billion.
Yeah.
It's a very interesting film. It's very, very sexually charged. So if you're not into naughty bits, then I would not watch this film. It does, like, for me,
it pushes the boundaries,
in the film, we're just going, wait, I think we might go a step too far here. But anyway, I will leave that up to people to watch and just to figure that out for themselves, if that's correct or not. But for me, I was like, oh, this is, yeah, okay. I'm just, I don't.
Hence Bob's Burgers. Works.
Yeah,
hence, needed a palate cleanser. Palate cleanser.
Yeah, needed to cleanse the old palate. So I am going to give Poor Things 3 burp bubbles.
Lovely. On that note, we're going to go to a few sponsors and be back talking now maybe about Ghostbusters.
If you're lucky. Thank you very much to our sponsors. We really appreciate the support, keeping the lights on, keeping us on air so we can talk to you about movies and stuff, which is fantastic. You are on Radio Fremantle, 107.9 FM, the top station on your dial, with Lewis and with Rachel and with Out Cecilia, because she is indisposed of this evening. One of the passes for Goodbye, Julia. There's a lot of films have been called Julia in the past, so it's very confusing. But David has got one of those. Thankfully, this one is an actual physical pass, which mm-hmm. I prefer to send people physical passes because they be real. We've only got one left.
Only have one left.
If Hughes wants it, just go to the Facebook. Don't put your address on the comments, though, because we'd rather people not know your address.
True.
So if you can just, send us a message.
A personal message, yes. Find us, message us, and do it that way. So you watched Poor Things on Disney Plus.
I did.
My only contribution for this week is that I have started watching, finally, the second season of Not Dead Yet, which...
Nice.
Yeah, which has been available in the States for a little while, but I've had to wait with bated breath to watch this series. And it is with Disney, you know, they're dropping one episode at a time, so I'm waiting for every single episode. But essentially, if you've not seen this, it stars a lady, well, it's based on a chick called Nell Serrano, who breaks off with her fiancé. She's gone. She was living in London. She came home. She tried to get her old job back at the newspaper, but the only job available was the obituaries. So her career and life is kind of not going well. And to top it all off, the people that she's writing the obituaries about come and visit her. So she sees dead people, essentially. So it's very funny. Gina Rodriguez plays Nell, and she, I think, was in Something or Other Virgin.
Jane
the Virgin, thank you very much.
Heroic.
And it's got Lauren Ash, who is from Superstore, played Dina in Superstore. It's a bunch of fun, and I like it because the episodes are short and I can watch them on my lunch break.
Nice.
So that is the entirety of what I've been doing this week other than uni work. So yay me.
Well, now you've got more like homework to do and watching Poor Things.
Yes.
So you can report back to me.
I will.
Yes.
I will do that along with my assignment.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. When did we watch it? No, we watched it downstairs. Yes, we watched it downstairs on our ancient TV.
Oh, I also have an ancient TV.
My colleague at work, Paul, he got recently upgraded to a 75-inch LG 4K TV.
Other TVs are available.
They are indeed. and he, I mentioned that because I'm a big fan of the LG TV. Other TVs are available, he'd upgraded that one there, and we've done some upgrading of our cinema upstairs, where we've put on double glazing and roller shutters to keep the light and stuff out. So Kat and I went up there the other day to watch a movie. What did we watch?
It's a proper theatre now.
It's a proper – well, almost. We were sitting – because we went, this is cool. Like, just having the roller shutters and having the double glazing. Won't need to put any blinds up or anything like that. Forgetting one thing.
Uh-oh.
You have a screen. You have a projector projecting an image onto the screen, so there's light and stuff like that. Now, what happens when there's, like, glass nearby and reflection? So I'm sitting there in preparation for watching Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. We watched Ghostbusters Afterlife, and I went, oh, look, there's Ghostbusters Afterlife on the screen and on the window. So I'm like, right, okay, that means that we're now going to have to get like blinds or curtains put over them so that we can.
You don't want three cinemas because you've got the big one and then you've got the little windows.
Yeah, it's only the big window. Like the issue is more for me because I tend to sit on the right side, and when I'm sitting on the right side, I can see that
it's
window.
It's in your peripheral.
Whereas Kat sits on the left side and doesn't see that window as much. So she's like, "No, that's all good." No, it's not.
It's funny that people have particular seats that they always sit in. And I guess it's like when you are partnered up, you always sleep on one particular side of the bed unless you're a freak and you just swap every night, which is what is wrong with you. That's insane. But, yes, there is particular spots in the couch that, you know, you like to sit in.
I'm kind of tempted to give it a crack though. Like tonight, just like Kat comes in the room and I'm on the other side of the bed.
On the other side. She's going to freak out.
Or if I sit on the other side of the couch, like will she get all Sheldon about it?
She will look at you funny. I feel like I would look at you funny. Yeah,
that's my spot. What do you see in my spot?
Yeah, excuse me, sir. I don't know if you know this, but my butt groove's in there.
That's right. You're going to ruin the groove.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to like my butt's clearly going to be bigger and she'll just like fall into it. Anyway. So, yeah, we were upstairs watching Ghostbusters Afterlife and remembering how good that film is.
It is good.
It's just like...
I cried at the end.
It's kind of like if you tell someone, okay, we're going to make a new Ghostbusters film and it's going to be set in this rural place in the middle of nowhere and, you know, where's the firehouse? Why is it in New York? How are we going to survive if they're not going to the public library? What's going on? But it just,
it's not 1984.
I know. It just worked really well, though. Like, you watch the film and it's just, you know, it brings in all the nostalgia. Mm-hmm. Like, the whole story the grandkids and the daughter who was estranged from her father, and then they figure out that, you know, he was doing what he did to save them and save the world, and then at the end when he kind of appears and like all the original Ghostbusters are there, it's just like, oh, all the feels.
I was just gonna say, it gives you all the feels.
You are kind of left with the movie of just going, I love this film, I really enjoyed it, but I miss New York. I just want to see the Ghostbusters in New York. And this film just goes back to New York, my friends. Mm-hmm. And the weird thing, though, is when you're watching it, at one point in time, Ray gets called by Spengler's granddaughter.
Yep.
And he says that the firehouse is now a Starbucks. But then later on in the film, the firehouse is bought back by
Winston.
Bought back by Winston.
Winston's got
the money.
Muller.
Yeah.
Yep.
So he buys back the thing, the firehouse, and it's not a Starbucks. So I was like, going, how did you guys not you know, notice that it was? He said it was a Starbucks, and it's not a Starbucks. So just one little thing I noticed. But
maybe Ray thought it was a Starbucks, and he was wrong.
Could be. He is old, and he could be Daughtry. I don't know.
Actually, feel like that's ageist.
Actually, speaking of age, so Ernie Hudson, mm-hmm. Dan Aykroyd, Bill Murray. Out of the three of them, which one's oldest?
Bill Murray.
No.
Really?
No, I'll give you another one. You can
Ray
guess.
Winston? I mean, Ray Winston, what if it's... I'm sorry. I just combined two characters.
You did, yes. Yeah.
Ernie Hudson?
Ernie Hudson is the oldest. And you look at that guy and go...
He's a beautiful man.
He did not look that old. He does not look that old. Amazing. Okay.
Sorry, Bill Murray. We think you is old looking.
He's had a hard life. It's all good. But yeah, so... Frozen Empire takes place in New York, and then it brings back all the characters from the first film. Although I do need to find out if Podcast. Do you remember Podcast in the first film?
Yep.
Like, dude grew up. Like,
really?
It's so weird. Like, you see him in the first film and he's a little kid.
Yeah.
And then you see him in the second film and he's like total teenage kid.
Well, this is what happens to kids as they grow up really fast all of a sudden. Oh, yes. Even his photo on IMDb, he looks quite grown up.
Yeah.
He looks, oh, look, he's so cute in this little picture. but yes, he's... He's a total teen.
Yeah.
But this is what happens, and this is why people make those jokes about Stranger Things. Like, by the Stranger Things 5, you're going to have, like, you know, old people.
True, true.
But they're still playing teenagers. It's just like 90210.
Speaking of Stranger Things, Finn Wolfhard's back in Frozen Empire.
Indeed.
So is Paul Rudd, Kerry Coon.
Busting makes him feel good.
It does. It does. McKenna Grace is in it as well as Phoebe Spengler. She does not look anything like that.
No. Completely different. Just, it's amazing what a wig will do.
She's an actress. She can act.
And also wear wigs.
Yes. Which we wigged it up like you wouldn't believe.
I see Kamal Ninjani is in it.
Kamal Ninjani's in it. He's really good. This is just like...
Patton Oswalt,
he's fantastic. Celeste O'Connor's back as Lucky. Logan Kim's back as Podcast, as we mentioned. We've got Emily and Lynn as Melody in this film. She plays a ghost. And interestingly, like, you know, in Ghostbusters, the ghosts are generally not, like, human apparitions. And if they do, they'll use, like, the library woman and they turn into an evil kind of thing. Melody's just this, like, normal kind of... a ghost of a human that's bombing around. So that was kind of interesting to see. James Acaster is an English comedian. He's in this as well. You may have heard of these three guys. They've done a couple of films, Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd, Ernie Hudson.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're in there as well. Anna Potts.
Cool.
We got one. She's in there.
Ghostbusters, what do you want? I see a very familiar face, a couple of familiar faces from the original 84, but I feel like people should wait until they see the movie to see those faces pop up.
Fair play to you. All right then. But yeah, so the Ghostbusters in this film, the main, like, you know, New York Ghostbusters are the Spengler family. So Kerry, Paul Rudd, because Kerry and Paul Rudd are now a thing, Trevor and Phoebe. So they're the Ghostbusters, and they're being you know, bankrolled by Ernie Hudson. But you still have the other Ghostbusters do come into this film. So don't worry if you watched Afterlife, when I loved Afterlife, but I wanted to see more of the original Ghostbusters. There's more of the original Ghostbusters in this film.
Yes.
There is a you've got to have, like, a reason for things to go pear-shaped. But in this case, it isn't shaped like a pear. It's shaped like an orb. And inside the orb is this evil demonic spirit that is going to cover the world in ice. And
that's rude.
And, of course, it's going to be up to the Ghostbusters to save the day. Because when, you know, there's something strange in your neighbourhood.
Who are you going to call?
Ghostbusters.
We're idiots.
Yeah. For me, this was great. It was fun. It was a romp. There was a callback to, like, the New York Public Library, where a very classic scene in the original Ghostbusters was. I really enjoyed the hell out of it. Like, as I said, the some critics have, like, said that there's too much going on in this film. There are two writers, because this film is not directed by Jason Reitman. It is written by Jason Reitman and also Gil Kane. And Ivan Reitman also had a hand in it before passing on. But I'm so happy that Ivan Reitman managed to, like, be around for Ghostbusters Afterlife and was involved in the making of that film. It's just, it's so sweet. And so I'm glad that that did so well, that there is Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. And I'm hoping that people go and see Ghostbusters Frozen Empire so they make another Ghostbusters film, because... freaking love Ghostbusters.
Yeah. And Gil Keenan, he was the writer of and director of Monster House, which is a really cool animated film from 2006. And it kind of blends that horror and comedy really well. So I feel like it's a kid's animation film, so the horror isn't horrific, obviously, but it kind of has that similar feeling. So I feel like he would be a good choice.
No, it was really good. And I saw Kathy from Sony, they put together a great screening last night.
As they always do. Yeah.
And they had these T-shirts where it was the – Ghostbuster symbol and like a bit of ice and stuff off the side. I go, oh, I really hope that somewhere sells those things because I was so disappointed yesterday I didn't have a Ghostbuster shirt to wear to go to Ghostbusters. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to try and track down a Ghostbuster shirt this weekend. It's very exciting. You also get to see, like, not only are the original Ghostbusters back, but one of the original ghosts is back. Slimer is back. And that's just great because I love Slimer.
Wasn't he in the Afterlife as well?
No, he wasn't. That was Muncher.
Ah, oh, Muncher, completely different.
He munched on metal and shot out bullets. So.
I really thought that was the same guy for a second.
Very different guys. Different guys. I loved Ghostbusters, Frozen Empire. I look forward to watching it again. Maybe in 40X. Well, not, we don't have 40X yet. It probably won't be here in time, but maybe in D-Box cinemas because there's a lot of movement and vibrations. Mm. There's like just in a normal seat when there was stuff happening, there was just like the seat was just vibrating, and that wasn't like that was just the bass in the speakers. Mm. So could you imagine being in a seat where the seat vibrates? Oh, I'm looking forward to that. I
might have to be a something to do on the school holidays, which are coming up.
True.
Yeah.
But I'm going to have to talk to Kat about that and maybe go and see Ghostbusters Frozen Empire again on the weekend in D-Box. I am going to give Ghostbusters Frozen Empire 4 tiny little marshmallow Stay Puft Men. They're back. They're awesome.
They are funny.
Love them. But we should go to our last ad of the evening and then come back and wrap this baby up.
Mm.
Thank you very much again to our sponsors. And what are we going to do now? Actually, I was asking you before. So it has like...
You didn't even let me answer, but that's fine. I don't have anything.
Has Bryce watched the first two Ghostbusters films?
He hasn't watched the second one because I feel like it's too scary. He's seen the first one a few times, doesn't quite understand, like some of it goes over the top of his head, but that's fine. But he's definitely watched the one that came out a couple of years ago with Leslie Jones and Melissa McCarthy, mm-hmm. you know, that crew. Really loved that one, and I think he prefers that one to the 84 version, and I think it's probably because it's more childlike, it's more aimed for a younger audience. But, yeah, he really enjoyed the first one as well, and he's got this creepy voice that he does sometimes, and he sounds exactly like the monster at the end.
Zool,
yeah, exactly. So sometimes I get him to say, "Are you a god?" in that voice, and it's very entertaining. Are you a god? I can't do it. But yes, he has seen it.
Oh, excellent. No, it's
we're educating our child properly. Thank you very much.
It's always interesting just to know what your kids will and won't watch and what they'll enjoy. Because I made the point to Kat when we watched Afterlife, and then after that we were watching the special features, and it occurred to me that it's now 2024, right?
It's 40 years.
It's 40 years since the original Ghostbusters came out.
Yeah, please, that makes me so upset.
Yeah, now if you go back, if you go from the original Ghostbusters in 1984 and then you go back 40 years, you're going back to 1944.
Yes.
And just think about the kind of films that we made in 1944.
Yeah.
Do you think any of those got a sequel in 1984? I don't think so. What films did come out in 1944?
I don't know, but I feel like they all had people doing that very special Atlantic accent that they had in American movies at the time. I want to say a movie that has the word Falcon in it. Maltese Falcon.
Ooh. Okay, here's some films from...
Now I have to find out when that one came out.
Here's some films from 1944. There was a film called Lifeboat.
Oh, classic. Love that one.
Oh, I do know this one, To Have and Have Not. I do know that one. Double Indemnity.
Know that one. And that has been remade after that. Maltese Falcon. Maltese Falcon came out in 1941. So I was close.
Tall in the Saddle. The Fighting Rats of Tobruk.
Oh, yes, it's a good one.
The Pearl of Death, The Mummy's Curse, Meet Me in St. Louis.
Well, that one is a famous one, very well known.
Yeah. Rosie the Riveter.
Oh.
Yeah.
She got her own movie.
She did. She did. The Scarlet Claw.
Oh.
It's a Sherlock Holmes mystery, don't you know?
Oh.
Oh, there's a. It looks like there's a Tom and Jerry film called The Zoot Cat. So, yeah.
Who knew they were around that long ago?
Oh, my goodness. The thing, if you're a Disney fan, the three Caballeros. So there you go. That's Donald and a couple of Mexican birds.
I was just going to say, isn't that with the birds?
It's with the birds. That is correct. That is correct. Alibaba and the 40 Thieves.
There you go.
They needed to do an Alibaba and the 40 Thieves 2 in 1984. I think that's what,
that's what they missed out on.
Done. They missed a trick.
Oh, they missed out. Oh, that's okay. You get that in the yeah, I don't know what I'm trying to say, guys. I'm sorry. It's almost the I can't believe it's almost the end of the show. It's happened another time. It's happened. I'm eking not and the English is hard.
You're doing so well.
I'm not, and I know I'm not, and I'm okay with that. I'm relatable. I'm relatable for all of those people out there that are freaking tired and wish it was Friday.
Yeah, people. Well, just think, this time next week, this will be
it'll
the last
be Thursday.
Day of the week. It'll be the last day of the week, though.
Oh, that's true.
The one afterwards is Good Friday, and it's good because we get a day off.
I know, for my husband's birthday.
Yeah. Awesome.
Are you going to ask how old he is?
No, I was going to ask how old he is. No. I was just going to say, how good is it? Like, it's weird because I also have a birthday that can fall within the Easter period. Mm. I was born on Easter Saturday. And how confusing that was as a kid that you're born on Easter and every yep. year it's like, well, Easter's in March. What's going on?
Yeah,
here?
Why is my birthday not happening right now?
I've got to admit the Catholicism that's where I started questioning things, quite frankly.
You're like, Jesus was supposed to rise on my birthday, yes. or at least the day after.
The day before or the day after. Yeah, that's quite right. But so it's very confusing. It wasn't great. We are coming to the end of the show. I was looking to try to get Ghostbusters yep. to play it. If you've been listening,
but instead we can't find it, so we're going to sing it to you right now.
No. No, we're not. Instead, I'm going to play Ben Lee's "Cigarettes Will Kill You" because never before has a song had such a actual accurate title. I think. Very accurate title.
Oh, there is that other one, "Wear Sunscreen."
Oh, that's true. Yes, that's very true. Mm. The "Cigarettes Will Kill You" one is quite
accurate.
For some reason, I was just looking up things like what stuff costs, and one of those things was cigarettes, and the cost to society is a lot.
I don't think he ever mentions in this song those words, though.
No. But
I might be wrong.
Yeah.
Here's your opportunity to listen and yeah. find out.
The only reason I wish I smoked was so I could give up and save all that money from not smoking.
Well, aren't I just way better than you? Because I smoked once and See? Got to give up.
Look at
and
that.
Now I feel smug.
Yeah. Exactly. Anyway, we're going to get out of here because Quizzy is clawing at the door because he wants to dig in some crates. So we're going to get out of here and we will see you hopefully next week with a full crew. Catch you then. I just went all commercial radio. I apologize for that.
Yeah.
I'm going to start offering people icy cold cans of Coke. It's scary. It's like I'm possessed. See you next week, kids.
Bye.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Gentlemen of Pop Culture.